And welcome back to episode 29 of the Weekly Tech Rant with me, Jay.
And me, Carl.
Well, Carl, how are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Been a busy week already, but yeah. Is it not Friday yet?
Apparently not. No. I was just about to... You know what? I had a great sound effect there lined up just to kick in as we were going to record.
I was waiting for it.
You were, I know, and it didn't work. I'm really annoyed now. I had it right here. I wonder if it's going to work now. It was going to work nicely after we've edited it. Maybe I can edit it in. Here we go. No, it's still not working. Oh well, that's ruined that. Well, maybe we'll keep that for next week then. How annoying.
Try again. And annoyingly, I don't know if you hear it on my end, but fireworks seem to be going off outside the house.
Fireworks? Well, who's celebrating?
I have no idea. They've just started going off as soon as we went live.
How peculiar. So, yeah. In the view of your celebrations for some strange reason, we've got busy show notes this evening. Unlike last week's full-on security fest, we've got a bit of a mixture this week, haven't we?
We have. There's a fair old amount. Some NVIDIA, we've got some Chrome, haven't we? MWC back again. Some more chip-related stuff. Some Amazon secret robots, and of course, Apple stuff. It wouldn't be our podcast without some Apple.
It wouldn't be indeed. You know, we've got to have, like they say, you've got to have some fruit in your diet. And we've got to round up, finish up tonight with a little bit about Xbox Game Pass and the latest update there, really, haven't we?
Yes, indeed.
Well, if our friends at Microsoft will splash the cash and buy probably the biggest game studio, well, one of the biggest game studios in the market, ZeniMax, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
The fruits of that sale, which, I can't remember, how many billions was it? I think it was several billion, wasn't it?
6 or 7 billion? Was it more than that?
Yeah. 7.5 billion, there we go.
7.5 billion. There you go.
Yeah, so... Anyway, we'll talk about that at the end. So, come on then, Carl. Let's kick it off this evening then with your latest RTX story around NVIDIA then.
Okay. So, was it last week or was it the week before now? We spoke about NVIDIA's, the new RTX 3060 and them announcing there's this hash rate limiter they're going to put on to stop people using them.
That was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? I think we talked about that, yeah.
And by the way, here's some new graphics cards that will do crypto mining. But anyway... They kind of announced that this was unhackable. So the internet being the internet.
Why?
Hold my beer and let's go for it. So it's been a bit of an exciting week. You know, I pinged you a message saying it's done. They've hacked it. Was that about 2 weeks after NVIDIA announced it? Someone purportedly hacked it. That turned out not to be true. And they were using a different cryptocurrency. I think it was Octopus or something like that it was called. So, a bit disappointed there because I was laughing a lot.
You were. That. So just to kind of recap on that then, the blocks on the mining is around Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Ethereum? Only that one, not Bitcoin.
Oh, just so
that,
it's not...
That one.
Oh, that's curious. I suppose the Ethereum, badly
Ethereum.
Pronounced as always.
Ethereum.
Ethereum. Ethereum. Yeah. It's kind of... the more popular at the moment, isn't it? Because there are several different coins which are actually based off the same, I guess, blockchain, aren't they, that Ethereum has, whereas Bitcoin, I guess, has just become a little bit too de facto now, hasn't it, you know?
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, they'd only implemented the hash rate limiter for that, and it's designed to half the rate. So, you know, a 3060 will apparently do 45 up to mega hashes a second, MH a second. Hashes a second, but with the rate limit in a place, it would only do just over 20, I think. But you know, some Vietnamese Facebook group announced that it hacked it, which just turned out to be a lie. So it was a bit disappointing. But then news just in earlier, it's been hacked, actually officially this time.
And the story of they jumped the gun. Then is that what you're telling me?
They jumped the gun on that one, and maybe someone got a bit confused. But it's now officially been hacked, and one of the ways of actually hacking it is to use NVIDIA's own drivers. So if you sign up as a developer for NVIDIA, you get access to development drivers, and they don't contain the limiter.
What?
Yes, but there's some caveats there, you know, as always.
They won't, they won't close the door on that, I'm sure.
No, no, you still need that, but it'll only work on one card per machine at once. So not very great for your mining rigs, and you need monitors hooked up to them, etc. And it'll only work in a X16 slot. There are some caveats there, but I'm sure that's probably the door they need to work their way around it. You know, full pelt there.
Ah, so it was blocked. It wasn't.
No, it is. But
there it is. And it's going to get probably done again when NVIDIA are like, ah, yes, our developer drivers, we better patch that hole then.
Yeah, exactly. So stay tuned. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more to this, but it'll be a cat and mouse game, won't it?
Yeah, and I get it. As we said before, I get it. You know, they want to reduce, these cards being, I guess, snapped up for other purposes apart from gamers, because you know they want to make them available for gamers. They also want to sell these new mining cards, don't they? Which they're making a big
still not seen a price on those yet.
No, very true. But it, you know, you're right. It isn't really a hack, is it? If you're limited by the physical constraints of the card, like you say, with a developer driver and you can only have one card and all that, so it isn't really, I guess, getting you around it. If you know, if you're testing it or you want to mine on your own, I suppose it's a way forward, but you aren't really gaining anything, are you?
No, but I suppose if you could use those drivers, then modify those drivers. I don't know, does it open up a door for them to expand this?
Possibly so. But if it's only, I mean, that was the thing that kind of puzzled me, I think, before around the Ethereum being only the only coin that's being blocked. Because it just seems odd. Why that one? Why not do all the other major coins as well? You know, if you're
The reason they didn't do Bitcoin is Bitcoin is so hard to mine now that you can't. It's just not worthwhile on commodity hardware. You need ASICs and stuff like that, especially programmed CPUs to do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I read something the other day. I think I saw it in I think it was Business Insider, possibly. It might be in the article I saw that said that Bitcoin uses 80% more energy than it did at the start of last year. And according to Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance, it uses 120 terawatt hours annually. Just to put that into reference, in 2019, Australia's main electric grid, so the whole country of Australia, used 192 hours, and Argentina used 125. But Bitcoin was using last year, at least 128 terawatt hours.
Apparently,
cryptocurrency now, or that particular cryptocurrency, is using 0.59% of the total worldwide electric consumption.
Wow, that's that's just insane, really, isn't it?
That's absurd.
There's no even way to say it. It's just insane.
It's absurd because it's not real. It's not a fiat currency, but so there's all that rouse about it.
Yeah,
and you're like, you know, it can be stolen. It can be, you know, misplaced. It's not traceable. But then, on the other hand, everybody puts their faith in an imaginary trust around bits of paper that say this is worth X number of, you know, whatever your currency is, or a piece of metal, which is, again, states that it's worth X number of your currency.
But I suppose they're backed by your government, so it does have something behind it.
It does, but I think when you break it down,
yep,
for me at least, when you stop and really think about it, it's like, we're nuts. We're all nuts.
Just go back to trading in sheep.
Well, you know, I'll swap you a cow for two of your sheep. How's that?
Exactly. Let's just go back to that way.
At least that doesn't chew like half the world's energy consumption. Oh dear. Well, listen, I want to know when. Let me know when they've hacked this properly, so I can go out and buy some of these cars and make some money. Because that appears, apparently, cryptocurrency is the only way forward, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those chicken egg scenarios, isn't it? You can't afford the cards because they're so ridiculously expensive. So if you mind, you can afford the money, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely chicken and egg, definitely. Oh, dear, dear. Okay, well, let's move on. So talking from one piece of money to another, a shiny metal, Chrome is coming up to 10 years old, apparently. I didn't realise that.
Has it really been that long?
Apparently so.
Wow. Time flies when you're getting old. But yeah,
I know. I
birthday, so.
I'm surprised. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I did see the announcement that Google announced some big, is it a redesign to celebrate its 10th birthday? And you know, they've added quite a few different bits and pieces. Actually, it's looking like a solid update from what I've read, you know. What they're adding, a phone hub, which is apparently some little dashboard that connects to your phone and allows you to, you know, to access your phone's controls like media playback, that kind of stuff, see the battery life, the data connectivity.
You've got an Android.
No, I don't have an Android, so it's not going to work for me. But if you have an Android device, yeah. You know, and you can also, we've stolen this from the Apple playbook, that you can use your Chromebook now to ring your Android device and find it when it's misplaced.
Okay, handy enough.
Which is still handy. You know, some of the controls like enabling tethering, turning it on and off from Chrome OS, you don't have to get your phone out. That's quite handy if you're using your phone for a tethering device. Also, grabbing hold of your Chrome tabs from your phone. But can't you do that with Chrome Sync anyway?
I thought you could do that. And I'm sure, doesn't Windows 10 do a link to your phone as well?
Yeah, Chrome does the same. And same if you use Firefox on your Android or iOS phone and have it on your desktop, I can access the tab. So I don't know why they put that in as a new feature. I just presume that was there.
Maybe it's just like you said, it's a redesign of the UI, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. But they're also introducing, is it Wi-Fi sync? So you know the same as you get on iOS, where if someone on the same network tries to access the Wi-Fi that you're on and they're in your contacts list, you can send it to them. Have you ever seen that pop up?
No. It's not like iOS does that though, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah, so I'm saying that's what iOS does. Yes, yeah, so iOS does that. They're bringing that to Chrome.
Okay. Excuse me for sounding puzzled, but I was a bit like, that's not new. But anyway.
No, but it might be, it's new for Chrome, not for iOS.
But so, for Chrome, are we talking, so are we, just to be clear here, are we saying these are features in the browser or in Chrome OS?
Chrome OS. These are the Chrome OS.
Okay. So not the Chrome, the browser, but Chrome OS.
No. OS is 10th birth, which is even more surprising.
Okay. I am totally sorry.
I missed my show notes, like, didn't you?
No. I totally misunderstood. I misread it. I was like, didn't think Chrome OS had been around for 10 years.
Definitely has, apparently.
Okay. Sorry. That makes a hell of a lot more sense now with some of these features.
Okay. Well, to add to that, you know, they're also bringing AirDrop, but it's not going to be called AirDrop. It's called Nearby Share.
Catchy.
But yeah, it's basically AirDrop. It's rather nice bits there. You know, they're improving the screen capture tool. They're bringing like clipboard history. You know, it's kind of improvements to your everyday life kind of stuff. They're bringing virtual desktops in, which is nice to have, and they're
actually quite good accessibility idea, I suppose.
Features as well. Yeah, they're bringing a proper screen reader to Chrome as well. For those that are visually impaired.
Again, some of this stuff you thought would have been already there, wouldn't you?
You would have thought so.
But, the virtual desktops piece, though, makes a lot of sense. I guess, especially with, you know, like, if you think about, like, Mac OS, for example, you know, the virtual desktop, or they don't call it that, obviously, but the same concept in that you have the different, that's a good idea, and especially on something like Chrome, I suppose, if you've got the browser windows are open, a lot of it you can move to different, I guess, topics or things you're working on, projects. I like that. Yeah. It's a handy tool.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I thought a lot of this would probably be there, but then Chrome OS was designed to be a lightweight OS, so those are the kind of things that you don't put in to start with, but then as you add them in, it becomes a bit more bloated. So well, I'd be keen to see if it still stays as fast when I keep adding all these new features.
But yeah, I guess as well, though, it's through over 10 years of life, you know, the usage of Chrome has probably adapted as well. And especially in the last year alone, where there's been, you know, a massive shift to remote working, they've probably seen, you know, some of these features have been like, well, we should probably use this. And I guess going forward, if they want to keep the adoption rate high, they probably need to bring some of this stuff in, don't they, to help, I guess, compete more effectively with the more established OSs such as Windows and
definitely
Mac OS could think of what they was the other one. Brain doesn't want to.
I'll say, were you going for Linux there?
Yes, you know, the Penguin.
The Penguin, yes.
The
Penguin.
Do you know what? I'm surprised. Well, no, I take that back. I'm not surprised because there are open source versions of Chrome OS, wasn't there? There's a famous one. What was it? There was one that there was. It used to be called. I think it was. was it Jelly Clout, something like that, wasn't it? Or Jelly OS or something like that.
I thought it was one beginning with N, but it escapes me. It was a commercial one, wasn't it? Well, commercial stroke free.
I think it's now called Cloud Ready, isn't it? I think that's what... There was one that had jelly in the name or something. I remember years ago that was like an open source version of it, but I think Cloud Ready was the one. But didn't Google buy Cloud Ready, or am I making that up?
Oh, I'm not sure. Neverware was the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, there was, you know, but I'm surprised nobody's come out with a Linux equivalent.
Neverware is Cloud Ready, you're right. Yep.
Yeah, and Google did buy them. Google bought them last year.
Interesting.
In fact, I think we talked about it back in December. I'm sure we did.
Oh, yeah, of course you might do. One of those things I've been meaning to try out for a very long time, but just never got around to.
Yeah, I just, you know, you could say Linux is like this already, because if you strip Linux all the way back, you've got effectively the same as Chrome OS, really, haven't you? If you take all of the packages, you know, the installed software out and you browse it. But, you know, this kind of, I guess it goes back to kind of the netbook idea, doesn't it? You know, for Windows style machines. And Windows themselves, or Microsoft, I should say, are releasing, you know, the Windows 10X similar approach. So, you know, there's definitely money to be earned here. And, you know, broadband connections, generally speaking, in most countries, you know, I appreciate not every country, but I'm going to go with the, you know,
the majority, we'll say.
The majority, yeah. I think, you know, are reasonably stable now, or at least 4G is in most places again, with the, you know, 5G becoming more standardized as well. And obviously, you know, SaaS applications being so prominent they are now, you know, you don't necessarily need a high end machine, do you, to run all of those capabilities. So, no, you know, there is definitely room in the market for Chrome OS and similar technologies to be had. And I'm personally speaking, I'm up for it. I think if it's decent enough and it does let me swap to other applications, I'm keen to see what happens. You know, so yeah, these are good updates. Again, perhaps it shouldn't take 10 years to get there, but you know, I guess the blind demand.
Everyone has to start somewhere, don't they?
They do indeed. They do indeed. But yeah, pretty cool. I you know, some of it, again, like you say, really isn't innovative, but helps round out the product, definitely. Oh, dear. Well, talking of rounding out products then, and product shows. So are we going to Mobile Congress, Carl? Tell me now, are we?
Well, they are still planning it. Even though we've mocked them a lot, and we're going to do some more mocking in a minute, they are still serious about going ahead. So, you know, they've put out their safety plan, haven't they?
Yeah.
For what they're going to do. And it's in part, they're partnering with the Spanish and Catalan governments, the host city parties and the Fira de Barcelona. And they're taking expert advice and health and safety directions from the WHO. Scientific research, health and safety experts. There's a lot of fluff going on here. Spanish and Catalan health authorities. Yeah, so they're taking some serious advice. And even after that advice, they're still planning to go ahead. So, I don't know, did you have a chance to look at the safety plan?
I have. I was just going to say, look, you know, look, hats off to them for going through it. I do love the safety page. I love the fact they've got the CEO of the GSMA, John Hoffman, picture of him wearing a mask. Yeah, it's like, you know, okay. It's like,
he's not going to be there, is he?
I get it, you know, like, but you don't need to have a picture of you wearing a mask. You know, that doesn't imply anything. That just implies you're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
I love the little animation at the bottom of where you've got before you arrive at the airport in and around Barcelona at the Barcelona Feria and returning home. Because I noticed that it's not at the, it's Mobile Congress this year isn't at the Gran Feria.
Oh, is it not?
You know the big super halls.
I hadn't spotted that part.
The massive ones.
You're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, the super huge halls, aren't they? You know, there's like four of them, is there? Five of them. They're not there. They're actually at the Fira Barcelona, which is the one in the centre of Barcelona, you know, with the two towers and like the driveway that has like the church on top of the hill.
Yep.
Which for many years has been kind of like, they've used different halls there to run side events, haven't they? And I know I've been to Samsung Unpacked there before, like in one of these side halls. So I guess they didn't need the super huge halls for this, did they, really?
I mean, actually, it would have made more sense. You could spread people out a lot more, couldn't you?
Yeah, but the little animation. So basically, before you arrive, you've got to have the test. You've got to make notes. At the airport, you then get your temperature scanned. And then apparently when you get to Barcelona, you've got to keep away from people. You've got to wash your hands, wear a mask. And I think watch your temperature was what I could work out. And then when you get to the Fira Barcelona, apparently there's air circulating. There's going to be hand wash. Only three people, apparently, according to the little symbol. Then it looks like they're looking for, looks like nuclear atoms in a magnifying glass. And apparently, I couldn't see the icon. It looked like there was no sticking your middle finger up. But apparently that's not what it looks like. I think it says no touching. I was like, what? And like, and then apparently when you return home, you've got to have another test. Look, I made my views perfectly clear about this last time. Yeah. I love Mobile Congress. I want to go. It's a great show. But I think they're taking the proverbial. You know, most
liberties there, aren't they?
Yeah. Most big events are cancelled. We've made that very, you know, it's been clear about this. I think Spain themselves are kidding themselves about whether this is going to go ahead.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, you've already had companies announcing. I mean, so Ericsson have announced they won't be going. So people have started announcing they're not going already.
No, I don't get it. You know, in this country, so the UK, so this runs the 28th of June to the 1st of July.
Yes.
In the UK, you know, for example, you know, the government here have said that effectively, all being well, the 21st of June is like, I want to call it Independence Day, isn't it? You know, like all of the restrictions will be off. You'll be able to touch, see, go people, no restrictions on anything.
Yep.
You know, that's technically speaking 7 days before this event is meant to take place. And that's assuming everything goes well. You know, at this rate, the UK is vaccinating, you know, well, I think close to 26 million people. I don't think Spain's anywhere near that, you know.
No, not at all. We're a lot further ahead, I believe.
You know, and that, and then you look at the rest of Europe. This is
a worldwide event. It's not just the rest of Europe. It's the rest of the world.
Well, yeah. I mean, the US, though, I did read the other day. I think it was Friday. It may have been give or take a couple of days. I think they vaccinated 4.6 million people in one day.
Wow. That's some serious vaccination.
Yeah, America is back in the game, you know.
I wonder who helped with that.
So, you know, the US, Israel is still, so per COVID-19 doses per 100 people, Israel is still leading the, you know, like they basically are ahead of the game. Then the UAE, then it's us, as in the UK, then it's Chile, interestingly, and then it's US. Yeah. So the US, I don't know what it says here. What's the numbers for the US? I think it's like they've currently vaccinated per 100 people, 31.6. So 31 people out of 100.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
No, that's pretty good. Amazingly, Israel's vaccinated 106 people out of 100.
Well, yeah, I'm sure I saw something. 106 out of 100. Okay.
It's like, how do you do that? It's like, that's quite clever. But they're
sure on TV. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but they've pretty much done second doses for most of the population.
Yeah, I saw a news article or a bit on BBC News where basically you don't even have to book now. You just roll in because they're not busy at all. You just kind of turn up and get your stuff done whenever you want. There's no booking, no waiting around.
No. So, fair play to the US in, you know, getting their act together. But you're right. The rest of the world isn't necessarily done. No. They are, I think, you know, risking massively here. You know, and I know, you know, we've spoken before. Money's on the table. We know that. We know that this is, you know, last year they had a massive cancellation because of, you know, COVID, of course. But I think they are probably jumping the gun here. If they said they were going to run this in like September, October, I probably wouldn't be as sceptical as I am.
A bit more realistic. I mean, when you listen to their list of stuff they're going to be doing, some of it's a bit whimsical and hopeful. So we started off with contact tracing. Okay. But pretty much once one person's got it in there, everyone's got it. So, touchless environments.
Yeah, good luck with
that. Leave the doors open. Revamped catering.
So,
is the catering preventive measure, or is that just highlight? We've got new catering.
I mean, let's be honest. Catering at Mobile Congress was I don't want to swear, but it was a interesting affair. You know, it's like going to a football match, isn't it? You know, where basically everybody under the sun is queuing up for the toilets, the part to get a beer or a soft drink and a hamburger from pretty much the same three places.
That's
And it's like the choice is terrible.
It's really expensive.
It's super expensive. That's it. The choice is terrible. It's super expensive. And the time you get to the front of the queue, it's time to go back again. So I'm not even sure how they've improved that. I'm really not.
I mean, it might be hard to improve it. I mean, they're also allegedly doing occupancy monitoring, upgrades to facilities infrastructure, increased medical staff, and this is the one that I love, and personal commitments like adhering to social distancing.
People don't social distance in the local supermarket. How are you going to social distance in a conference?
Yeah, exactly. It's just
or
very,
a tech
very
show. Hopeful. So, how, you know, considering a tech show, you go around all the stands, you stop and talk to people, you want to touch or look at the products that are on the stands. How's that going to work? Because every time I've been to Mobile Congress, typically the booths are full of people that want to come up and talk to you about an opportunity, a product, a customer, or whatever you've got on the stand. Also, the booths are designed that you've got private meeting rooms in each of them where you can invite customer X to talk to your executive or showcase the latest product, haven't you? Some cases, sign a contract. So what's that going to work then? You know, they're going to be Perspex screens up against everywhere. It's ludicrous.
It's all the demo booths and all that hands-on stuff. So, which obviously you can't do. It's going to be the new product launches are going to be behind glass and stuff. So you must just view it on the internet.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The Samsung booth, when I was in the Samsung booth, 5-6 years ago, I think it was the S6. I think it was that year.
Yeah.
They had that behind closed doors. So it might be no different.
We're not going to let the riffraff see that.
No. You got to play with that. You've got to come. Your name's not Dan. You're not coming in. But yeah, I know I'm getting on my high horse, and it's not called the Weekly Tech Rant for no reason. But I just think this is. They're not seeing the bigger picture here. Yeah, it is. It's crazy, crazy, crazy time.
I think I'm going to breathe down. Out, it's going to be cancelled anyway. They're going ahead. They're going ahead. Everyone pulled out. Oh, there's no point going ahead. There's no one there.
No, you know. And I love the fact they're saying about there'll be an event app on the people's phones that'll act as their ID, so that you won't. I won't have my badge. And apparently, you'll need a check-in to get-in process where you'll need to show negative test.
That needs to be done every 72 hours. You have to have it 72 hours before you arrive, and then you'll have to do more ones on site.
The logistics of this. I mean, 40 to 50,000 people. I mean, come on. I'm going to breathe. Take a drink.
Yeah, exactly. just crazy.
It is crazy. Right, I'm moving on, because if I don't, I'm going to get stuck in... right. Well, talking of mobile phones, funnily enough.
Yes.
So we've been talking in the last few weeks about the chip. There is a global silicon shortage at the moment, isn't there, of fabs? And we were talking last week about TSMC and their capacity, and you know, Apple obviously chewing up or buying up, I should say, all of the 3-nanometer process, and then them auctioning off spare capacity, which we reckoned was in the 7-nanometer, didn't we? So now apparently there's rumors that Qualcomm, who make the Snapdragon processors, you know, that are found in the phone
for most of Android,
pretty much most of Android tablets as well, they're having a demand, supply and demand issue, because they're struggling to have the chips made. So it seems that there's obviously the worldwide shortage that, you know, we've talked about. So Qualcomm are now the latest kind of victim to that, saying that they are struggling to keep up demand of the Snapdragon chipsets to their manufacturing partners and supplying partners. And it's Samsung that's...
Samsung, you were saying, but it's not just the high-end chips either, is it?
No, it's the low-end.
It's affecting the everything, the low and medium and the high. So,
As you say, the low-end chips are there, as you say. You know, everybody thinks, high-end is the big... But you're right. It's I guess you want to say the middle-of-the-road middle-of-the-road chips. And obviously Samsung are pushing out devices left, right, and centre. And ironically, though, I think what was interesting in the article I was seeing about this was saying that the fall of Huawei apparently is making things worse, because obviously people are looking to customers and that are looking to move away from Huawei devices because of the lack of Google interaction, Play Store, yep. all the other gubbins there, and moving to the other suppliers. So there's a bigger demand now on Qualcomm powered devices, whether they be Samsung.
Huawei were using their own chips, weren't they?
They were,
Enjoy their stuff, yeah.
So we're seeing now that a knock on for devices. We're seeing, you know, AMD and Nvidia both reported shortages as well because of the demand there. We know there's AMD have been, you know, kind of a little bit pushing back, haven't they, around the CPUs as well, not just the GPUs.
Yeah, so they're having issues with GPUs for Nvidia and AMD, CPUs for AMD, I think. I'm not sure about Intel on that one. But it's the automotive industry is having a massive issue with
You brought that up last week, weren't you, saying about the car manufacturers were complaining that there was lack of chips for the cars, and even though they're not exactly high end, are they, compared to the high end Snapdragon? Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, surely this will get resolved, and as you know, more and more, I guess, capacity comes online and supply routes and raw materials start getting back into the supply chain, this should help move forward. But yeah, again, it's all a knock-on, isn't it? It's all the knock-on from the pandemic, which people I guess were saying is affecting, you know, other industries, retail, hospitality, airline industry, obviously, but actually it's affected, I think, pretty much everything, hasn't it?
It has. I really don't think there's an end in sight, or certainly not within the next couple of months. I'm trying to build a PC for a friend. I think I mentioned it to you in the past, but just can't get hold of the CPUs, can't get hold of GPUs at reasonable pricing. So I just have to keep telling him, wait more months. But it's never ending.
No. You're right. It's the prices of the materials that are available is evident of the supply and demand issue as well, isn't it?
It is, yeah. What you can get, even if it's brand new retail, is a lot more expensive than what the RRP for it should be.
Oh, yeah, and don't even think to look at eBay, because you're just paying hand over fist.
You are, yeah.
It's crazy. It really is crazy. But, yeah, I think, you know, that we've talked a lot about, I guess, the big names, and, you know, Qualcomm, of course, are a big name, but we haven't really kind of considered, I guess, the knock-on that they're having as well. Yeah, just hopefully you do hope that by the middle of this year things will have picked back up again, and those supply chains will be up and running. I guess the only way to look at it, isn't it?
Yeah, fingers crossed. I wouldn't mind buying a new GPU. I'm not going to pay more on retail for it.
No, but you know, talking of Huawei, funnily enough, you know, we were saying the other week about the Biden administration and whether or not would they go easy on the Chinese trade war, wouldn't it? And some of the restrictions there. Well, it seems apparently not, doesn't it? So it turns out they've added new issues. Well, they've created more issues after adding new limits to suppliers that were offering things to Huawei. So there's now further restrictions on any company that's supplying things like 5G devices, any contracts that were there under previous licenses. So it seems that the Biden administration actually is taking a tough stance here on any exports to Huawei at all, which I am surprised in a little way, because I thought perhaps this would soften maybe, and there would be...
Me too.
You know, maybe a little bit of a... Not a climb down, but perhaps a... You know, let's negotiate. But it seems that actually they are pushing harder than Trump was.
Yeah, I don't get that one. Like you, I thought they would kind of soften it. Not a full reversal, because that'd be, you know, show them to be stepping down. But just a slowdown on it. You know, some more negotiation with China. And yeah, I was thinking 5-6 months, back in full swing again.
Well, yeah. So in January, before Trump left office, it was said that they were going to deny 116 licenses, which would apparently equate to $119 billion worth of, I guess, sales, and approve only four, which were worth $20 million. And most of those licenses covered memory, handset, and other devices and network applications.
Yeah.
So the new restrictions hurt most suppliers, but apparently they level the playing field. So it's anybody that did have a license is now pretty much restricted. So there aren't kind of, I guess, anybody moving forward here. And it seems that most of the stuff here also is now linked to 5G. So anything,
oh, really, okay,
anything that has, you know, 5G, or it goes into a device, you know, even if it's not linked to 5G, if it's in a device that has 5G. So really? It's okay. Yeah, so it's covering quite a broad spectrum. And apparently can, you know, anything to do, of course, do with military, no surprise there. Critical infrastructure, enterprise data centers, cloud or space applications. You know, like that Huawei powered satellite that I've got, you know, up here. But I mean, for funny enough, we were talking about Huawei, weren't we, earlier today, when I sent you a link about some servers, wasn't it?
Ridiculously cheap servers going for sale.
Made by Huawei.
Well, you're tempted. There were some good pricing.
They were, but and apparently it's on. Apparently it's on the hardware. You know, the hardware compatibility list for certain software. But I don't know. I don't know whether I'm tempted or not. I'm not sure what the support's like.
It was secondhand anyway, wasn't it? They were dishing out a 5-year warranty to the company. So
they're secondhand because everybody's ditching them. I was on a business call earlier with, I can't obviously state the company name, but they're a very large European company who are moving away from Huawei servers to another supplier of choice, an American supplier. And you're like, I wonder why that is.
You know? Let's be honest, they're probably all still made in the same factory.
Well, of course they are. You know, and let's be honest, they're also running Intel chips. If someone's
infiltrated the supply chain, then it doesn't matter. They're still, using Intel chips and probably Samsung or Hynix, RAM or whatever, and whatever hard drive manufacturer. It's only the motherboard, really, and the metal chassis.
You took the words out of my mouth. I'm just exactly that point. It's the motherboard, isn't it? But I guess then there's the whole, oh, has it got a chip in it? Well, yes, it has. No. I mean a chip. What do you mean a chip? Well, you know, a chip that talks back to Huawei.
Like the secret ones they allegedly had in the Supermicro motherboards.
Yeah, which nobody proved, which couldn't be proved at all, could it?
That did come up again a couple of months back. I saw another article
didn't
about
it. But yeah.
Again, it still wasn't proved.
But wasn't that story shot down, though?
I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, look. If it means there are more cheap servers on the market, maybe it's not such a bad thing.
I'm kind of this mind now. Look. If there is something, just prove it. Put it out there. Not just say, there's potential spyware stuff, national security. We're not going to tell you what it is.
Show me where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've already announced that we shouldn't use it because it's potentially got something in it. So,
but prove it.
The Chinese government are aware now that we know. So just say what it is.
Well, it's just like the whole thing where they were saying about the, you know, we can't have it in the networks. We can't have it in the full 5G networks because, you know, basically China's going to one day flick a switch and they're going to compromise all our networks and they're going to take us over and they're going to be able to roll their tanks down, you know, what the Americans would call, what's the statement Americans always use? Main Street, isn't it? You know, we're rolling down Main Street, you know. It's like, what? No, I don't see it. You know, unless, you know, you can't say all this stuff and not prove it. And I guess, you know, spying and intelligence and espionage is a lot of built around subterfuge, isn't it? So you don't need to prove it. But actually, you're just whipping up frenzy.
It's the bit I don't get. So over in the UK, we have our GCHQ, one of our spy agencies. There's a dedicated team there that checks all the firmware for Huawei devices sold in the UK.
They did. It was called it was a joint building, wasn't it, between the GCHQ and Huawei in London.
It was. Exactly. So we've got that there, checking all the firmware. You know, and the reports back were no spyware. Not the best coding, but no spyware.
I was going to say,
saying GCHQ is incompetent and hasn't found it? Or found it and just let it go? Or is there nothing there to begin with?
Well, that's the point, because wasn't it a year ago or 2 years ago, one of the senior people at the National Cybersecurity Centre here in the UK, exactly what you just said, Carl, came out and said they hadn't found anything, but like you say, shoddy engineering, quality control was their biggest problem.
Must try harder, yeah.
You know, you're right. So unless they're saying because it's shoddily built, it could be compromised. Well, there's a lot of companies. There's a lot of companies that you can apply that to.
look at Microsoft Exchange Server. And the mess we're in at the moment with that.
Swiss cheese, you know, like with that, isn't it? You know, like.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's an American company.
Well, that, I mean, we talked about that last week, didn't we? The Hafnium threat, basically, which allegedly is tied to the Chinese government. The exchange servers that have been exploited with those zero-day exploits.
Yep.
And it seems that loads of them, even though they've been patched, and are still being detected vulnerable. I mean, I've been reading stuff about some of the honeypots that have been put out there. People have been, security companies testing. And they're saying
that's vulnerable with web shells, isn't it? So they've already been compromised. The web shell's been planted, and then they've been patched on top, which obviously won't patch out the web shells.
No, but that's what I'm saying. But they're finding other vulnerabilities as well off the back of that.
Oh.
They're finding, apparently they're finding, new malware hashes, malicious file paths that have been detected in several GitHub links as well. Microsoft, the Threat Intelligence Center, I think they call it Mystic, the Microsoft 365 Defender Intelligence team, the 365 security teams have been putting out like updates on their blogs pretty much every day for the last week and a bit. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 CVEs that were published in light of this. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Wow. Yeah, I do not miss the days of managing an exchange server.
You just wouldn't nowadays, would you? It's just, you'd just shift Office 365.
Yeah.
And just get rid of that burden. Because Office 365 is apparently okay, isn't it?
Apparently
it's
so.
Just on your on-premise exchange service. But then they've got, these are the people that make it. They've got entire teams dedicated to making sure this is secure. And obviously they know their own software, we'd hope. So I think at this point, if you're a business, just pay for Office 365. I pay for it and I'm at home.
The interesting, I did read though on the Microsoft security blog. So they were saying, they had a thing is, who is Hafnium or Hafnium? So apparently, according to this, and I quote, Hafnium primarily targets entities in the United States across a number of industry sectors, including infectious disease researchers, law firms, higher education institutions, defense contractors, policy think tanks, and NGOs. Hafnium has previously compromised victims by exploiting vulnerabilities in internet-facing servers and has used legitimate open-source frameworks such as Covenant for command and control. Once they've gained access to a victim network, Hafnium typically exfils data to file-sharing sites such as Mega. Interesting.
Mega, a blast from the past.
And then it goes on to, in campaigns unrelated to these vulnerabilities, Microsoft has observed Hafnium interacting with victim Office 365 tenants. Whilst they have often unsuccessful in compromising customer accounts, this reconnaissance activity helps adversary identify more details about their environments. Hafnium operates primarily from leased VPS servers in the United States.
Okay.
So it's kind of like the enemy on the soil, isn't it? It's there.
Yeah, they're on Main Street.
Yeah,
well, it's close to it.
That's old Kim, what's his name, isn't it?
Kim.com.
That's him, thank you.
Kim.com.
With his mega file share, what did he have before? What was his? What did he go down for? Or he was going to go down for, wouldn't he?
Oh, I can't remember what it was now.
But he was fighting the US government from New Zealand.
It was
wasn't
a file sharing one that shared lots of movies and stuff, didn't it?
Yeah,
not traditional, not peer to peer. It was all hosted by him.
That was right, wasn't it? Mega Upload.
That's it, Mega Upload. Yeah, so yeah, it wasn't peer-to-peer. He was just storing all the legal movies and TV and music.
That was right, yeah. So he moved to New Zealand, but I think he, I don't know whether he became a citizen of New Zealand, but I know he's living in New Zealand, wasn't he? And there was an extradition to get him over from there and basically
unsuccessful,
to the US,
wasn't
it? Yeah, unsuccessful. And I don't know whether they did. I'm not sure whether they did extradite him.
Well, I don't know.
I can't remember, but it was a couple of years back, wasn't it, that there was basically all this, fight with him in the New Zealand High Court. I've just Googled it. On the 4th of November last year, the Supreme Court of New Zealand ruled that .com could be extradited to the US to face 12 charges.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But they also said that he and three other co-defendants could challenge the decision.
appeal.
So I don't know what's happened there with that, but yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Crazy. Blast from the past that was, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
anyway. Right, what else we got tonight then? Oh, Robot Overlords, Carl.
Oh, we have. I don't know what to think of this one, but Amazon apparently have got a secret lab of 800 employees working on an Alexa robot called Vesta. It's apparently Vesta. Late Vesta, yeah.
Is that match? Aren't Vesta matches?
I don't know. It sounds a bit like Vista, like that Windows operating system. But it's apparently a late stage prototype. But this is, I suppose, an Echo on wheels.
What? It's got a screen. Sorry, back up.
It's that Amazon Alexa, Echo, what we want to call them.
On wheels.
It's got a microphone. It's got several cameras, apparently. It's going to have, like, temperature and humidity sensors and air quality sensors. And even a small compartment for carrying objects. Beer. And a waist-high retractable pole with a camera. What?
I'm sorry. Like, this sounds like, do you remember like a couple of years ago, they had those, looked like a big iPad on a stem with wheels that basically gave you telepresence, didn't it? Like, if you weren't in a meeting, you could have your presence.
You sent it to the meeting for you, didn't you? Yeah. Have your face on it, and you can see it from your laptop, yeah.
This sounds exactly like that, or am I just not getting this?
Like that, but you won't be controlling it. It'll be the Amazon employees watching you through it. Now, I have no evidence of that whatsoever. Just putting that out there. But it just sounds a bit creepy. And you can usually go somewhere to escape these kind of smart devices, like maybe the toilet. But I'm not sure you'll be able to escape this one if it's got wheels and can follow you around.
I don't get it. I mean, I'll put it out here first. I, for one, welcome our robot overlords. Just in case. But this is crazy.
I've spotted
stairs.
With a plan. Stairs. It's like a Dalek. It's not going to get up there until they bring the new ones out.
But you don't forget. Didn't they release that home drone thing last year from Ring?
Dude, that was Ring. Yeah. So maybe that's what's in the compartment. It's got the drone from Ring, and that just pops up and flies up the stairs for you.
That's what I'm asking. It stumbles over the stairs, but then all of a sudden it like and it takes off and flies up.
I have Amazon Echo in most of my rooms of my house because it's tied into my home automation system. It just works really well. I think this is probably a step too far, even for me.
I have no interest in this whatsoever.
I mean, you don't even have any smart speakers in your house, do you?
Well, I got, not in the house, I got two HomePods in front
of me
here.
In the office, yeah, exactly. But yeah, obviously I've got the opposite. I've got them everywhere, but no, one on wheels that can follow you around and has retractable cameras.
You're asking for trouble.
Well, no.
You're just asking for trouble there.
Yeah, that's a no from me. And what's the price of this going to be? This is going to be expensive by the sound of it.
It did make me chuckle, right? Did you read the thing on The Verge, what it said about it?
No.
Did you see what they said, how big it was going to be?
Oh, the one about the size of two small cats. Or two cats, wasn't it?
So the,
how big's your cat, though?
It says the device is the size of two small cats. I mean, when did we start using cats as a unit of measurement?
We should do that more often, I think.
I'm like, what? Like, yes, I mean, how big is it? Well, it's the size of a medium cat. Like,
what's a medium cat?
I don't know, but... Oh, dear. Look, I guess these strange labs that Amazon and Google and Facebook have got, they've got to come up with something, I'm sure. But this is just crazy, absolutely crazy.
Is this gonna be an epic fail? Is it gonna be a repeat of the Fire Phone?
Well, that went down well, didn't it? Le Balloon,
Oh, the Fire Phone. But weren't they going for like 99 cents at one point towards the end of their life? They were trying to sell them for 99 cents. No contract, just 99 cents. Take a phone.
Just get rid of it, please. We don't want it.
It's costing us more to store this. Please take the phone.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd buy one now if you told me it was 99 cents.
I'd actually buy one just to have a play with it. Because the Fire Phone, did that have the 3D screen? Sure, it had the 3D screen and like six cameras around the side of the screen to take 3D video of you for conferencing.
The problem is, I guess, though, with these things, it's got to be like what features do we put in that nobody else has got, or how do we innovate? But there's innovation, and there's just like, we're going to go uber crazy here and do something that nobody else has done. That's not necessarily innovation, is it?
That's not always good.
No, No. Oh, I don't know. I don't fancy one. You're right. You can keep it.
No. They were too preoccupied with could they, and they didn't stop to think whether they should. Is that the same? Something along those lines, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, though. That's definitely not going to be at the Apple event, then, that's going to be rumoured for the 23rd of March, then.
No.
So this story's been bouncing around now for about, we've been talking about at least for a couple of months, a couple of weeks. For this. The rumours keep persisting and they are not going away. It seems that everybody under the sun who has anything to do with Apple in terms of reporting is saying that there is going to be an event on the 23rd of March.
A week tomorrow, yep.
A week tomorrow. Where AirTags are going to be released, an iPad Pro, a new iPad Pro.
With a mini LED display.
That's it. And 5G.
And 5G.
Yeah. They're also the AirPods 3, apparently.
The third gen, yep.
But
potentially some new iMac, maybe?
Well, potentially, yeah. Now, but then, if you look at other information, there are some of the, you know, let's call them leakers, let's call them whatever you want to call them, are saying that actually the AirPods 3 have been delayed. They won't show up.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're not going to show up at the event because they've been delayed. The AirTags are clearly the primary offering here.
Can you base the whole event on that?
Well, you're right. Probably not. But this Apple have got ideas beyond this, beyond just the tracking of shove it in your bag, haven't they? They want to show you there's a lot more to it. Apparently they can track height. Apparently they can track things like golf swing. You know, loads of stuff that you know your average tracker hasn't thought of. The iPad, I can't see this being massively different to the iPad that launched last year.
No, this is just a minor improvement. You know, they've replaced the display technology. There'll be a bump-in processor, maybe a bit more RAM.
But to me,
there's nothing going to be groundbreaking here.
And iPad Pro don't typically get released every year.
Do they not?
I'm pretty... No. Well, 2019... Maybe they do. I thought we had a gap. Maybe we didn't. But if this is just a minor spec bump, Apple could have released that in a press release.
Yeah, but maybe if they've only got AirTags, they're just trying to pad it out a bit. I mean, I can't see this being much more than a half an hour, 40-minute...
Oh God, no! And I think also the iPad, the iMac, iMacs. That's a whole different thing. The iMac, the iMac Pro, which was now discontinued. We both kind of agree that they're going to release an M spec to that, and the iMac Pro occupied a really strange place in their lineup, didn't it? As well, that was the problem with that.
It did. It was a top of the range of the iMac, but you were definitely creeping onto Mac Pro territory, weren't you?
Yeah, it was kind of a stopgap. It was given because when it was released, the prosumers and the professionals, there wasn't a Mac to go with it. Was there really?
Yeah. No.
And it really hasn't seen much in the way of updates since then. So, you know, but the other thing, you know, so AirTags is one.
Definitely.
iPad Pro, very likely. AirPods, apparently, according to what's his name? The Korean, I want to say, is he Korean? I think he is, isn't he? Ming-Chi Kuo, the analyst, is saying that they're delayed till Q3. So it's like, what is this going to be about? Because I'm pretty sure
it'll be a soft launch, and you know, we'll
stop
to run in September. That's quite far
maybe
away.
There will be. Yeah. No, but again, did we have any... When they released the M1 chip, did we really have any build-up to that? I can't remember. There wasn't really much leaked, was there, around it?
There was the odd rumour. It's been going on for ages that Apple, you know, will eventually shift away from Intel. And you know, you saw iOS apps working on Mac, didn't you, and stuff like that.
But the overall spec of the chip was a shock, I think. That was a reasonable thing. So I think we'd have heard more about the MX or whatever they're going to call it chip before then. But then again, Apple have been known to surprise. So, you know, they could pull out the bag, you know, a performance M chip at this event. Again, there's nothing to suggest the M event's coming. There is, apparently, I did hear the other day that the new 16-inch MacBook Pro with the MX chip has been delayed as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
And that's the one that they're bringing back, the SD card, the HDMI ports, all that kind of jazz.
A good keyboard.
Yeah, the good keyboard. So, I don't know, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't get... If Apple are going to do an event on the 23rd, this will probably get announced like the end of this week, won't it, really?
Yeah, I imagine so. And talking about those iPads, I just did have a quick Google to see when they were released. So we had them in 2015 and in 2017, but then we had them in 2018 as well, and then 2020.
Yeah, so I've got...
There's
no
real rhyme or reason here. You know, it's 1 year, 2 years, it's up in the air.
Yeah, so I've got the iPad Pro Gen 3.
So the 2018 model.
With the, yeah, so hang on a minute. Mine has got the...
It's got a switch to USB-C in it. It's
yeah, that's the one, and the Pencil 2.
Yeah, that's the one. So that was the 2018 model, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one I've got, yeah. So that's the one I've got. And then obviously the 2021 came out last year, didn't it, with the basically uprated specs and all that kind of stuff.
That's the one.
Well, okay. So it's a possibility, but it's also then quite... It's only 12 months, isn't it? That's a short window when they've been roughly a couple of years, roughly.
So we'll see. I mean, it could be. I mean, it's not going to be a complete redesign, is it?
No, but what's the one thing, Carl, we're not going to be seeing, though?
New iPhone.
I was going to say HomePod, sir.
Okay, I missed the hint there. I apologise.
I should be more subtle.
No new HomePods.
No.
No, they have been, like the iMac Pro, they have been discontinued. The HomePod, not the Mini.
Nope.
So that the HomePod was the big one, wasn't it? The $350 one.
Yeah, the large grey sort of, yeah. Same sort of size as a sort of a slightly bigger than the Sonos, wasn't it?
Quite a bit bigger than the Sonos. Well, certainly bigger than the Sonos one. Yeah.
Yeah, like two Sonos ones probably on top of each other, actually.
Yeah, it was quite big. But yeah, no, they have discontinued it and said they're going to be concentrating all their effort on the HomePod minis.
And actually, you know what? I think this is a really, really good thing. The HomePod mini is a fantastic speaker for the size, for the price point, the capabilities that are in it around the U1 chip. I get it. I think actually it makes far more sense. And as I said to you earlier on when we were talking offline,
yeah,
you know, you're going to buy, you would quite happily spend $99, you know, so two of them, what's $198? You'd buy two of those and think you've got good value. Whereas if you pay, you know, the $350 or whatever, or I think it dropped to $299, didn't it, the HomePod?
Yeah, it did in the end, didn't it?
But basically, you're right. You're going to feel like you've got more of it, haven't you? Whereas the HomePod minis, they were, you know, the shelves. You couldn't pick one up for love nor money. They were just, you know, disappearing, weren't they?
No, I remember you saying you wanted one, didn't you? You sold your Sonos kit and then couldn't buy the minis. And then I checked up my end of the country and still none here.
No. I know a lot of people said that the HomePod had good sound. I do get that.
Not going to deny that. I think the problem was where they tried to position it in the market. It probably wasn't ready at the time. What, $350 or even $300? You're well into Sonos territory at that point. And Sonos has this licked, doesn't it?
It does.
You can run it on iOS. You can run it on Android. You can run it from Windows and Mac. It streams from all these different internet stations. It doesn't just work with Apple Music. It works with Spotify, your Deezer, your Tidal, any music service. Even hooks up with my NAS and streams my MP3s and CDs off my NAS. And it costs less than the HomePod does.
Right.
Yeah. And they've got the biggest part for me, obviously, at the beginning, was that for the multi-room part, I could start playing music on my Sonos, then leave the house. And my music would carry on playing for anyone else in the house. It wouldn't stop when I got out of range of AirPlay.
No. The HomePod minis, right, address some of those issues.
Yeah.
You know, and Apple themselves have swapped it now. They with the media services, you know, yes. you can Spotify, you know, the stuff. And look at where they're competing now. So they've kind of moved away, like you say, from the high-end premium audio, haven't they, to now, like, competing with the Echoes.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, even if you were still comparing it to Sonos, if you want to buy the Sonos, so it's the Sonos One, isn't it? One with Alexa built in. That's what, 160? So they've undercut that. And, you know, so if you want a voice assistant smart speaker, it's like £60 or $60 cheaper than the Sonos.
You know, the sound quality is phenomenal. I mean, let's say the pair I've got on the desk here. Okay, so I'm not, you know, they're for work. I use them for airplane stuff. I play with, they are super loud. Really, really loud.
Yep.
You know, they are quite, they're quite, the bass is pretty good. The treble, the high end, you know, maybe not, you know, but again, they're not premium speakers, but the sound quality.
They're $99 speakers, yeah.
Yeah. But working as a stereo pair, they're great. I've got no complaints whatsoever. And yeah, okay, I'm not going to say the name of She Shall Not Be Mentioned. I don't use that too often. But, you know, when it is there, it is good. The handoff between the phone and the HomePods, it's seamless. It works really well. Okay, I caveat that. Occasionally, it doesn't work so well. But it, 9 out of 10 times. You know, it's not, they're not bad. They're a perfect price point. And I will buy more of these. I will get more of these for the house. They are a great little device. And I think Apple definitely pitching more of the capabilities here. And especially with that U1 chip in, these devices, we have not seen the full potential of what they are capable of.
Only Siri was a bit better.
I think everybody agrees on that point. I don't like using...
I think Apple even agree on that one.
You know, CarPlay. I love CarPlay, you know. I rarely have the radio on my car apart from CarPlay now. You know, I don't listen to the DAB or anything. But She Who Not Should Be Mentioned is terrible. And I hate using it, you know, comparatively.
I don't find it too bad for what I'm using in the car. But maybe it's different from what I want to use in the house. In the car where I say, call my wife or a friend or you... Or I'm just saying, you know, play some music now that it defaults to Spotify. Yeah, it works perfectly fine for that, but I'm not asking too much of it.
No. But hey, look, you know, Apple, hats off, great product. And yeah, let's just make it better. Let's add more software capability to it. Give me more. You know, there is more potential here with it. Show me what it can do.
Yeah, there's a lot more potential, but will Apple do it? Well, you're in the walled garden, aren't you? Well, and it has its pros and its cons. Depending on what you want to use your HomePods for, that may or may not work for you.
Again, agreed. Okay, so to wrap up tonight, we have got a little bit of a games update around the Xbox Game Pass. I'm not even going to try and pronounce this, so I'm going to let you do it, Carl. So, Carl, I'm going to go with Microsoft purchased ZeniMax, like we said before.
ZeniMax own a number of studios. One of them, I'm going to say, is Bethesda.
That's the one.
That one.
Well, actually, they also own Arcane Studios, Tango Gameworks, ID Software, Machine Games, as well as Bethesda.
Bethesda?
Bethesda.
That one.
So
those of Elder Scrolls fame.
Aye, that's the one. And also, so ID Software, if you've been living under a rock, is Doom, Quake, Rage. Arcane is Dishonored. And Machine Games recently have been making the new Wolfenstein games.
Ah, gotcha, yep.
So all of those, pretty much AAA titles for many years, and 20 of those games, including the top-end AAA titles, are available on Game Pass now for console and PC. It is awesome.
And cloud.
Yes. Good point. So you've got...
Yeah, available on Android too.
Yeah, good question. I was just going to say they will play, yeah. So you've got everything from Doom, you know, from 1993, which, let's be honest, introduced pretty much most of us to first-person shooters.
Oh, yeah.
Through to Dishonored 2, which came out another year, which is really great. Doom Eternal, which again last year. The Elder Scrolls games, including the Elder Scrolls Online.
And the
Elder Scrolls,
most
of the Fallout 4's there. Fallout 76, which is the one I can't really get my head around. Prey, which is the remake of Prey, isn't it? Because the first one never really talked about anymore, is it?
No, it's they've got what, Rage? Rage is there as well.
Rage 2, I think, yeah, is there. And then the Wolfenstein games, New Order, Old Blood, and Young Blood.
Yeah, so quite a lot of decent games. A lot of hours of gameplay there.
Well, yeah, you combine that with the EA Games Pass on top of Xbox Game Pass. I mean, this is, as I explained to my wife, this is the blockbuster of games.
Talking of EA, is Star Wars Squadrons out on Game Pass yet? I'm sure it's meant to be this month. I've still not seen it.
No, I haven't seen it yet. I don't think it is out yet on that. You can play it on Game Pass for 10 hours.
Oh, okay, because it's just part of the free trial kind of thing. Or
yeah. So you get it on, you can have the first 10 hours. But apparently, I think you are right. It is supposed to be this month. So I'm hoping it does come out soon. But yeah, this is awesome. I mean, okay, blockbuster of games. Okay, show my age. Yep. Yeah, this is the Netflix of games then, isn't it? You know,
it is. So, I mean, that was the good news. Now, there is some bad news, and we knew this was coming, but Microsoft would never admit it until after the deal has gone through. But Phil Spencer was talking about the future of the game studio. I know, will it be exclusive? And he said it's going to be exclusive to platforms where Game Pass exists. So, yeah, not nicely done. Basically, from what I understand, games currently out on your PlayStation.
Basically, if you've already PS5, okay, you're not getting this.
And they're still going to be supported. And games currently in development that come out of PlayStation 5 are going to be supported. But anything new that wasn't from now on, you're not getting on PlayStation.
No.
Although, unless Microsoft bring out a Game Pass app for PlayStation.
I don't think
Sony's going to like that, though.
No. But this is kind of goes back to my point when I came over to the Xbox world. Mm. This sums up my hold of it decision, you know. I think I've bought one game for the kids on the Xbox, which was one of the Lego games, yeah. But yeah, every other game I've got on that Xbox is through Game Pass.
Mm. I think, did you maybe buy a bit of a DLC for Horizon?
No, that was free as well.
Oh, you got that as free as well, yeah.
That was in the Game Pass Ultimate.
Oh, it was, yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
So, yeah, you bought one game for your Xbox Series X.
And I don't, okay, I'm paying whatever it is it £8 a month, whatever it is?
£10 a month. Yeah, £9 a month, yeah, or something
like that, yeah. But, okay, you add that up over the course of a year. That's, let's call it £120. You buy two AAA titles. That is your money spent.
Yeah.
You know, I've got six or seven games installed on that Xbox, even at used prices, secondhand prices, if you will.
Yep.
I've still saved money. And I'll continue to save money because I can pick up the games, I can play them. If I don't like them, I delete them, I pick something else up new. So I'm not like having to buy a game.
Not just your Xbox, because you've got the Ultimate Pass, haven't you? So that's your PC.
Well, exactly. It's on the PC as well. It's exactly. So I'm getting double bubble. You know, it's saving money all the way around. And I think this is clearly the way forward, you know? It really is the way forward. There are going to be games that I'm going to buy, you know? We've talked about it before. There are going to be games we're going to buy. But for the majority of titles, this is the way forward. I'm prepared to wait a couple of months for a game to show up on Game Pass than to have it first party. But then again, some stuff does show up first party on Game Pass.
Yeah, all the Microsoft studios, they are released on Game Pass day one.
Yeah. So you can't really argue.
No, you can't. And I know you were commenting again the other day about how much you liked the cloud save feature, because you were playing on the PC on Horizon, went to the Xbox, just carried on where you left off.
I love it. It's brilliant. It really is. Like I said before, I'm, you know, PS fanboy for 25 odd years, you know, this is brilliant. Can't fault it. Love it. Love it.
Welcome to the dark side.
Indeed. It is good. And on that note, let's wrap it up there, shall we, Carl? So yeah, we'll be back next week for episode 30. My God, we've been doing this for 30 weeks. We'll see you next time. I've been Jay.
I've been Carl. Have a good evening, all.